want to talk to you about the right hand of God. How many of you know that God is not lefty? And we're going to see it in the scripture tonight. God is right-handed. Not that I have anything against lefties. There's nothing wrong with lefties. It's just that God is not lefty. He's a right-handed God. Said, my God is a right-handed God. Now, we're going to learn something amazing about the right hand of God. And I encourage you to take notes and make prayers out of the principles and the scriptures that we're going to study tonight. But recently, I was preparing for Hurricane Matthew. And I was closing the accordion shutters in my condo. And when I got to the very last one, why is it that it's always the last one that gives you trouble? When you think that you're done with it. When I got to the last one in my bedroom, I couldn't close it. Nothing that I did, and the thing would not close. And I was putting all the strength that I could with my hands to close it, but it wasn't enough. But praise God for a dear sister and friend that came over that day and helped me. And between her strength and my strength, but it was actually more of her strength than my strength, we were able to finally close it. And this is the thing. Too often, we are trying to get things done by our own hands. And our hands are very weak. How many of us can say amen to that? Our hands truly cannot accomplish much in this life. And David said something amazing in Psalm 63, if you want to turn there with me. In verse 8, David said this, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand, see, I told you earlier, he's not a lefty, he's a right-handed God. Your right hand upholds me. Your right hand upholds me. Only God's mighty hand will avail. And David understood this very well. David said something. He said, my soul follows close behind you. And in Hebrew, what he's saying is, my soul cleaves. Or my soul is glued to your soul. Isn't that something, a beautiful picture right there? David's soul was glued to the soul of God. Isn't that an amazing picture right there? David clings firmly to God in the same way as pieces of wood glued together, adhered to each other. There was not one inch of separation between David and the presence of God. Amazing. No wonder God said that he has a heart after me. What a blessed and comfortable position David was. He is following hard after God. David was clinging to God. And then, on the other hand, God is holding and sustaining David with his right hand. Who wouldn't want to be in that position? Anyone here that does not want to be in a position like that? When you know that you are as close to God as you can be, and at the same time, God's right hand is upholding you. What a wonderful position to be in. The right hand, people that are right-handed, I know that there are some lefties in this world, but studies show that the majority of human beings are not lefties. They are right-handed. So the right hand, is commonly that by which we accomplish anything. And by its constant use, is stronger than the left hand. Those of you that are right-handed, lift your hand. Okay. On which of the two hands do you have the most strength? Your right hand. Do you cook your steak with the left or the right hand? The right hand, right? So usually, the right hand is the one that we use the most. Is the one that we do the majority of things with. And because of that, it's stronger than the left hand. You see, what David is saying here is amazing. Get this revelation here tonight. What David is saying is that God is upholding him, not with his left hand, but with the right hand. What David means is this: God is upholding me with all of his strength. With all of his strength, with all of his ability, with all of his might, with all of his power, God is upholding me. How many of you want to be in that position? Now tonight, I want us to look at three ways by which God's right hand upholds his people. So three ways by which God's right hand upholds his people. Next time somebody asks you, you can tell them, I learned something new in church tonight. I learned that God is not lefty, but he's a right-handed God. Number one, God's right hand provides support. God's right hand provides support. God's right hand keeps you from sinking in life. Keeps you from sinking in life. Psalm 138 verse 7 says it this way. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. And look how he does it. Look how God gets us out of trouble. He says, you will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. And what will save me? It doesn't say the left hand. It says the right hand. So I don't want to get anybody offended here tonight. But clearly the scripture is teaching us that Jesus is a right-handed God. Hallelujah. And it says that it is with his right hand that he saves us. Now God's right hand talks about power and authority. God is strong enough to take you out of whatever place you are in life, good or bad. In whatever place you are tonight, whether it's good or bad, the right hand of God is able to deliver you from that place. Psalm 63 verse 8 in the Message Bible, I love it. Because it says it this way, I'm going to read it to you. I hold on to you for dear life. Are you holding on to Jesus? Are you holding on to your God this way? David said, I hold on to you for dear life. And then in return, God, you hold me as steady as a post. Steady as a post. I like that. Because it tells me this. Whatever situation you are in life, the right hand of God will not let you sink. Let me repeat that again. Whatever situation you are facing tonight, if you're clinging to God the way David was, if you and God are one, then his right hand will not ever let you sink. He is holding you steady. Nobody can move you from the right hand of God. There is no demon in hell that can take you out from the right hand of God. Peter, remember the story? He saw Jesus walking on water. And Peter said, Lord, if you can do this, and if this is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, okay, no problem, come right ahead. So Peter left the boat and started walking on water towards Jesus. But the Bible tells us that after a while, he began sinking and Peter froze. And that water now became like mud. And Peter began to sink in mud. And he reached towards Jesus and cried, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached back, grab him, and pull him up by his right hand. Many times, friends, we do find ourselves in muddy situations. We find ourselves many times in places in life where we are in the danger of sinking. But I want us to understand something. You don't have to be necessarily be in a bad place to sink. You can sink right there from a good place. Are we learning that tonight? We don't necessarily need to sink in mud all the time. Sometimes crystal clear, calm waters can sink us to death. We can sink in a good place. God can bless us. God can raise us up. And we can allow pride if we are not careful. Human beings are so sensitive to pride. You have a flesh and I have a flesh that delights in pride. And if we are not careful, it can come in very easily. God can bless us. God can raise us up. And we can allow pride. And we can allow self-reliance to come in. Or we can get to a good place in life. Like a successful career. God can give you success in your career. Or a relationship. Even a good marriage can be a sinking place. Let me repeat that again. This is deep. Is it okay to go deep? Even a good marriage can be a sinking place for us. Why? Because anytime that we stop clinging to God and we begin to cling to people, even if they're good and godly, we will sink. So it could be a relationship. And we can get distracted. And we can forget about God. Anytime, folks, that we stop clinging to God, we will sink. We can sink in a shaky place. A place with no spiritual foundation whatsoever. When we are walking in a foundation other than Jesus. Like a relationship outside of God's will. If there is anything that would sink us in life, it's a relationship that has not been ordained by the living God. When we are walking in a foundation other than Jesus, we can sink. But tonight, as we meditate on Psalm 63, God is giving us assurance. The assurance that when we hold fast to God, His right hand will not ever let us sink. Before I became a Christian, I was sinking, and I was sinking so fast. As a matter of fact, I only had my nostrils out when Jesus saved me that night. Everything else was covered up in mud. And I never knew that there was going to be hope for me. I had no idea how I was going to get from the dark place that I was in. But as I began to call on Jesus, as I began to declare His promises on my life, His hand pulled me out from a muddy place, from a dark place, into a place where there is light, where there is peace, where there is freedom. God's right hand will put you out of a place of sickness. God's right hand will pull you out of a place of bondage. God's right hand will pull you out of a place of loneliness and isolation to a place where His light, where His goodness, where His salvation can be found. You see, church, the Lord completely satisfies the soul of His people. The Lord completely satisfies the Lord of His people. And by doing that, He keeps us from going after things and people that can sink us in life. Many times the reason we go after things and people that are not the will of God is because we have not found our contentment and satisfaction in Christ. But God, in His goodness and His mercy, makes sure that He satisfies us, that He provides for every need to protect us and to keep us away from people and things that are going to sink us in life. Psalm 63 verse 5 says it this way. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Highlight that, because right now it doesn't make sense. How can fat satisfy me? We are a fatless, fat-free society. Every time you go to the supermarket, fat-free everything. fat-free butter, fat-free meat, fat-free chicken, fat-free. And most of it is made out of plastic, but it's fat-free. It's killing us, but we are dying fat-free. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth, he says, shall praise you with joyful lips. You see, for most of us, when we read this, I read this a million times before and I couldn't get it. Where can fat satisfy me? But this is the thing. For most of us, marrow and fat are not food that we are crazy about. Have you ever gone to the supermarket and asked for a pound of fat? Give me a pound of fat. Or give me a pound of marrow. But for the Hebrews, though, they were more fond of fat and marrow than we are. You see, this is the secret. These were the main pieces of the peace offering in the Old Testament. And this was an offer that was offered in the Old Testament to thank God for his goodness. This type of offering had nothing to do with the forgiveness or the covering of sin. But it was a good offering in the sense that it was an offering of thanksgiving. It was an offering that was offered in the Old Testament to thank God for his goodness. So to them, get it now, to them fat and marrow was a great thing. To them, fat and marrow meant festivity and celebration, and it meant feeding or eating the best of the best. These portions were the only portions in the peace offering that were eaten by the worshiper. So when he said, I am satisfied as with marrow and fatness, they understood what David was saying. This was a sweet savor offering, indicating that no sin is involved in it, and thus is most satisfying to God. Now, the marrow, for those of you that are in the medical science, the marrow is the nourisher and the strengthener of the bones. But in the Bible, it symbolizes the things which alone can satisfy the soul. The things which alone can satisfy the soul. And Proverbs chapter 3 verse 8 says it this way. It says that the fear of the Lord is a strength to the bones. So the bones is the strengthening and the nourisher of the bones. The fatness, on the other hand, symbolizes the richness of God's goodness. So now that we understand this, what David is saying is this. David is saying, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. What he's saying is this. My soul shall be full of comfort, of joy and gladness. When? In verse 6, when I remember you in my bed. When I remember you in my bed. Now remember, David didn't have a queen mattress or a king pillow top mattress like we have nowadays. But most likely, David had a rock as a bed. And he had very hard living conditions, running away from King Saul, living in the desert. And yet, in this type of horrendous condition, David is saying, God, you are sweeter to me than marrow and fatness. Though he was in a desert, in God, he found full satisfaction, full contentment for his soul. David's soul was completely satisfied in God because the goodness of God in his life met every single need in the life of David. And that is, folks, what we find when we are in true fellowship with the living God. We find complete satisfaction, complete contentment in the Lord. Jeremiah 31 verse 14, God makes a wonderful promise to his people. In Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 14, he says, I will satiate. Satiate, that means beyond full. The soul of the priest with abundance. You and I are the priests in New Testament times. And my people, look at that. Look at what a wonderful promise. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. And this is what the Lord promises to every single human being who opens their heart to Him, who surrenders to Him, and is willing to cling to God in the same way that David clung. The Lord satisfies the soul of His people, as with marrow and fatness, by giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is, the Bible calls Him, the bread of life. The bread of life that can give complete nourishment to the human soul. Relationships cannot nourish you. Things and even success and even money cannot nourish us. Only the bread of life. Only Jesus, the Son of God, can give complete nourishment to the human soul. Cling close to the Lord, and His right hand will keep you from sinking into things, from sinking into relationships that cannot and will not give you complete satisfaction. Another way by which God's right hand upholds His people is defend. Defend, defensa, protección. God's right hand is so powerful. God's right hand supports us against opposition and criticism. In Psalm 63, verses 9 and 10, He says it this way: "But those who seek my life." Now, David here is talking about a man, King Saul, that was persecuting him to kill him physically. Most of us, like time I check, are not being persecuted by a king to be killed. But the majority of us are being persecuted by the tongue of people. The tongue of people, criticism and gossip, can be deadly to the human soul. And God says, those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. You see, the right hand of God, friends, represents power and authority. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, where He exercises supreme authority over all powers in heaven, in earth, and even on the earth. There is no demon in hell that can even come close to Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 22 says it this way: "Who has gone into heaven," talking about Jesus, "and is at the right hand of God," again supporting my previous statement, we're serving a right-handed God, not a lefty. So He's sitting at the right hand of God, where there is power, where there is authority, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to Him. God's right hand holds power to destroy every single enemy, does not matter how big or how powerful they might be. Exodus chapter 15 verse 6 says it this way: "Your right hand," see, all the scriptures are talking about the right hand of God. "Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces." There is such a strength, there is such power, there is such might in the right hand of God that He can take a giant, He can take a nation, He can take a powerful enemy and just crush him to pieces with His right hand. God's right hand is a symbol of authority. You are secure, my friend, in the right hand of your God. There is no enemy. There is no enemy, there is no demon that can ever stand the power and the authority in the right hand of God. I am not afraid with demons, I tell you honestly. I am not afraid of demons. When I realize the power and the authority that there is in the name of Jesus, I am not afraid of demons. I I am afraid of me. I am terrified of me. I am terrified of my flesh. Exodus chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. But I am sure, this is God talking to Moses. Look what he says to Moses. Moses, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Let me bring it to modern times. I am sure that sickness is not going to let you go. I am sure that demons do not want to let you go. He's saying, Moses, I am sure, this is God talking. Moses, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. And by the way, the king of Egypt is a symbolism of a demon, of satanic spirits. They will not let you go. They don't give up that easily, you know. That's why we got to fight them. That's why we must never cease praying. We must never cease confessing the word of God. We must never cease worshiping. We must never cease serving God, because demons do not give up easily. He will not let you go, he says. No. Not even by a mighty hand. In other words, you can have the best resources in the world. You can have talent, ability. You can have everything that you want. That's what he's saying to Moses. They are not going to let you go. So therefore, Moses, I'm going to do something for you. And he's saying that to you and I tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something for you, Pastor Anna. I am going to do something for New Life Assembly, oh God. This is what I am going to do. I am going to stretch out my hand. And when God stretches out his hand, watch out, because something is about to happen. I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. He will let you go. That's why let's pray. Lord, stretch out your right hand to heal us. Stretch out your right hand to provide for us. Stretch out your right hand to defeat the enemies that come against me, against my family, against my marriage. Lord, stretch out your hand and do your thing. There are enemies, church, that no matter, we need to learn this. We still don't get it. We don't get it. There are enemies that come against us, that it don't matter how much Bible knowledge you have. It don't matter how much talent and ability and charisma you have. It don't matter how much strength you have on your own. Even if you exercise 7 days a week and you lift up a $500 pound. There are enemies that you are not able to defeat on your own. But when Lord stretches his right hand on behalf of your people, when God stretches his right hand on behalf of you, on behalf of me, there is no enemy that can stand the power and the man and the strength in the right hand of your Father. God deliver his people by his hand. God deliver his people by his hand. And he did wonders to deliver them from Egypt. God's right hand will deliver you from your enemies. Will deliver you from sickness. It will defeat even the most powerful enemy that has risen against you and against his church. Reminded of the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, chapter 20. When a huge army, a mighty army came against King Jehoshaphat, and the word of the Lord came to him, and I believe that that is the same word that he's speaking to our hearts tonight. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 and 17, he says, listen, New Life, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because this vast army. For the battle, he says, is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. You see, he does his part, but we got to march. We got to get out of the pew. We got to get out of the house. We got to get out of where we are, and we got to march, and we got to position ourselves. March down. They will be climbing up by the path of seas And you will find them at the end of the George of the Desert or Jerol. You will not have to fight this battle, but you have to march. You get it? We march, but he fights. Take up your position. We don't fight, but we got to take up our position. We got to pick up the weapon, church. If we want to win this battle, we want to pick up the weapon and take up our position. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. Go out to face them Sunday night. Go out to face them Sunday morning. And the Lord will be with you. Friend, do you believe in his mighty power? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be despaired because of your circumstances. Hold fast to God. Cling to your God. And allow him to show you his mighty power, his deliverance, and give you the victory that only he can give you in the name of Jesus. Church, you and I need to learn something. And it's this. When you are going through difficult circumstances, when you do not know what to do, when you do not know what to say, and you are facing a huge problem or a monumental circumstance, we need to praise the Lord. We need to worship God, and we need to stand firm in the word of God. He will deliver you, and he will give you victory. With the power, with the might, with the authority of his right hand. And lastly, another way that God's right hand upholds his people is that the right hand raises you up. The right hand of God raises you up. God's right hand lifts us up to serve him. Isaiah 41 verse 10, it has been the verse for this year for me. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you. And there it is again. With my righteous right hand, thus says the Lord. Church, in our weaknesses, in our mistakes, in our shortcomings, God has us in his hands. God is in complete control of your life and your situation. And even when you feel as though your failures are bringing the whole world down on you, you can rest. You can rest in the presence of God, knowing that God has everything in his hands. God's right hand is the hand that blesses. I love this one. God's right hand is the hand that blesses. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 14, it says there that Israel stretched out his what? His right hand. I wish I had more time to elaborate on that, because many times when Jesus lay hands on the sick in the Gospels, it was his right hand. The right hand is the hand that heals. It's the hand that blesses us. So Israel stretched out his right hand and lay it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh. The left hand does not do anything. I'm sorry for saying that. No one offends any lefties here tonight. On Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn, and he blessed Joseph. In other words, the right hand of God is the hand that blesses us. When we cling to the Lord, blessings will follow us. Blessings follow us when we cling to the Lord. You cannot stop it. You cannot convince God. When you cling to the Lord, the right hand of God will be upon you to bless you. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 15 says it this way. You have kept what you have promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth, there it is, and fulfill it with what? With your hand, as is this day. Church, the right hand of God represents the achievement of what is promised with his mouth. The right hand of God is the hand that fulfills what God promises with his mouth. God speaks with his mouth, and with his right hand, he fulfills it. Hallelujah. What promises has God given you? David clings to the Lord, believing that God will sustain him. And in the same way, no matter what circumstances you are facing today, believe that if you're holding fast to God, there is a condition for that promise. We already learned that the right hand of God is amazing, powerful. It has might, it has strength, it has power, it has authority. It's the hand that blesses. It's the hand that fulfills what God speaks with his mouth. But that hand will be activated in our lives when we cling to the Lord. If you hold fast to him, he stretches forth his right hand to do what he promises with his mouth. His right hand upholds you. His right hand supports you. It keeps you from sinking of any place in life. The right hand of God defends you. It defends you against opposition. It defends you against criticism and judgment. And his right hand raises you, blesses you, empowers you to follow you, him and serve him in this life. Let's close our eyes so we can pray. We can pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing to us the power that is in your right hand. I thank you because what a comfort it is to know that no matter what place I'm in tonight, it might be a good place, it might be a bad place, it could be a place of sickness, it could be a place of bondage, it could be a place of attack, a place of loneliness. Don't matter what am I tonight, your right hand will hold me. It will prevent me from sinking in muddy waters. We thank you, Jesus, because your right hand gives us victory over whatever enemy we are facing here tonight. And your right hand, oh God, blesses us. It raises us up to be the people that you are calling us to be. Lord, and what a wonderful position David was in. As he was glued to you, as he held on fast to you, oh God, you kept him in your right hand. With all your strength, with all your might, with all your power, you kept David and you delivered him even from death with the strength of your right hand. Lord, and I pray that we will position ourselves in that place, in that spiritual place, where your right hand can truly uphold us. But we learn from the scripture tonight that in order to experience that kind of protection, that kind of victory and blessing, we must hold on to you. We must cling to you. We must be clinging so firmly to you that there must be no separation between you and us. And I pray that after we sit in the study of your word, that will be from now on the desire of our heart. If you say to me, Pastor Anna, I want to live from now on within the right hand of God. I need his protection. I need his might, his power, so that I will not sink in any place in life. I want that. But in order for me to experience that, I know that I must cling fast to God. If that is your desire, I want you to raise your hand right where you are.